I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see during the week that former President Trump mistakenly endorsed J.D. Mandel for Senate? Normally not a big deal, but the guy's name is J.D. Vance. Vance's opponent is Josh Mandel. See what he did there? Yeah. Seth Meyers said, this guy can't even be bothered to remember the names of the people he's endorsing. He went from JP to JD Mandel. If he kept talking, he would have endorsed JK Rowling. This is how much you have to forfeit your dignity to succeed in today's Republican Party. You have to grovel and debase yourself to earn the endorsement of a guy who can't even remember your name. That's bad enough. But then he said, JD Mandel will win, or my name isn't Donald Vance. Ha, Fallon. Great guy. JP Morgan is great. Can't say enough about JCPenney. I don't think you can. We love you, J-Lo. We love you. I'm not sure if it's a ringing endorsement when you're like, I fully support what's-his-face. He's the best. Trump said even the best leaders make mistakes sometimes, like our great president, Abraham George Lincoln. Trevor Noah, you could see the crowd was looking like, oh, man. They look like parents watching their kid bombing in a spelling bee. I feel bad for J.D. Vance because now he's going to have to change his name to J.P. J.D. Mandel. Because if you're a Republican, Trump's never wrong. At the GOP Starbucks, whatever name Trump calls you, that's you, J.J.J. J.D. J.P. Mandel. Yeah, that's me. I'll take it. It was a busy week. I didn't get to tell you how much I enjoyed John Mulaney's appearance on Conan O'Brien's podcast. I recommend you stop listening to me right now and go listen to that. And then you can come back. You can finish this episode. But go listen to Conan and Mulaney. It was very, very funny. They did a bit about Cookie Monster that I don't want to spoil. But once you listen to it, and the Cookie Monster bit had me giggling in the car, and I'm still thinking about it days later. Mulaney's new act is called From Scratch, and he said, yeah, he just started getting up on stage. He thought he had about an hour's worth of stories and things he wanted to share. He started workshopping it on stage. He told Conan, I knew this would make me feel better getting up on stage at night, and then I also had a very real like, and this is gross, I feel like my skin's been peeled off. I was still kind of going through some chemical withdrawal, which lasts longer than you think, so I just wasn't comfortable. I was a little nervous talking to friends. And seeing people for the first time just for dinner or something was strange, so I didn't feel, you know, stage ready, and I was shaky for a little bit. Then I started to go, well, I'm getting antsy in this different way now, and I think because I want to go out and be a comedian. His first few sets were vulnerable and dark. I started getting on stage in May of 21 and just doing an hour. I had a bunch of areas and stories that I want to try, so I think I had the time, and I thought I can cover 60 minutes of talk, but it was really From Scratch. That's the name of the tour. I wanted to convey to the audience that this is all going to be new. It could be rough and not polished or that tight at all. And the first few shows were not tight at all. And thank God someone reviewed the first one. They said it was open and vulnerable and dark. And I thought, well, I literally was just institutionalized. He's glad he took some time before he returned to the stage. I think maybe I had some Zoom college shows that I sort of smartly didn't do. And by the time those dates at the City Winery, this really nice venue on the side of the highway there in New York, once those rolled around and just kind of the first time made sense to go there other than to just go to the Comedy Cellar where they had plastic, literally, was kind of the first time made sense to get on stage. I'm now sort of at this place where my mom, who I love so much, she'll look at my tour schedule and be like, I'm concerned. You're at so much right now. Is this stressful? And I'm like, this is one of the greatest times of my life, and this is the best thing for me. It's so I don't know if right now it's cathartic so much as it's a joy to be out. So fun that people come out so nice. Like, everyone had a very challenging couple of years. Like, everyone's out together. It's the best. It feels great. He also told a story I liked a lot about when he was a writer on SNL. He and his writing partner Simon Rich decided they would be the ones to write the opening monologues because the monologues never get cut. He talked about Simon Rich. He said, my first week at SNL, he comes up to me and he goes, we're going to write the monologue every week because no one writes the monologue and he can't cut the monologue. They got so used to writing the monologue, they developed a shorthand. Simon used to call it, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. It's great to be hosting Saturday Night Live, F7. Conan talked about the repetitive rhythms. O'Brien called it hamburger helper. They started telling a story about when you have somebody who's not good at the monologue, SNL, and I never realized this till they explained it. SNL goes into the thing where the audience starts interrupting your monologue to ask funny questions and you don't have to do much. That's when they got to the Cookie Monster bit. Trust me, go listen to it. Mike Birbiglia, he was hosting for Kimmel during the week. He told the Chicago Tribune about his worst moment. He said, a few years into my career, this is maybe 2005, I got asked to perform comedy at a charity celebrity golf tournament in New Jersey. It was at a cancer research benefit, perfectly wonderful cause. And one of the challenging things about comedy is you're often asked to perform it in places where maybe it doesn't belong. And this event was a misfit all along. Earlier in the day, I was supposed to play golf with these two strangers because it was a celebrity golf tournament. The first thing they say to me is, who do you think our celebrity is going to be? And I said, oh, no, I think it might be me. So I'm apologizing to these people. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I'm your celebrity. If this is disappointing for you, you can't imagine how disappointing it is for me. I brought my brother Joe along because he loves golf. I was really inexperienced at the time and I didn't bring another outfit to get changed into for the evening. So I played golf during the day and there was a banquet and I'm wearing muddied, dirtied, wrinkled golf khakis and a collared shirt ensemble. It's messy and sweaty. I'm in the locker room ironing my pants, trying to do damage control in the situation. I already felt bad, but I was going to do the best I could. So I go to the banquet room and the person in charge says, there are going to be two speakers and then you and then a raffle. And I said, well, that's exciting. I've never opened for a raffle. First speaker goes up. He's a boy who survived leukemia and he's very inspiring and everybody's crying, including me. But I'm crying for two reasons. One for the kid, but also for me because I have to do comedy after him. My brother Joe leans over and goes, this ain't looking so good, Mike. The second speaker was legendary New York Giants quarterback Phil Sims. And he's also very inspiring. He even sprinkled in a few jokes about golf that were similar to jokes that I had thought of earlier in the day. He gets a standing O, and I'm thinking, clearly the show's over. The room's sort of cleared out. Half a third of the audience left because there can't be anyone more famous than Super Bowl MVP Phil Sims. But wait, it's Mike Birbiglia. I think some comedians might have been able to rise to the challenge. I was not one of them. Maybe I would today, but I was not at the time. I go up there, I'm bombing. I'm not connecting at all. I don't think I landed a joke. And I think to myself, why don't I cater my material to this specific event? Actual Johnny Mac reaction as I'm reading this. Oh, no. Birbigs. I have a personal experience with cancer, which I talk about in my new show, The Old Man in the Pool. I had bladder cancer when I was 20. So I had a joke about that. I went to the doctor and they told me there was something in my bladder. And whatever they tell you that, it's never anything good. Like, we found something in your bladder. It's season tickets to the Yankees. It did not get any laughter. At that point, I threw in the towel. I'd failed doing my act. I'd failed at making specific to the event. I'm supposed to do 20 minutes and I did probably 7 or 8. So I thanked the audience and simultaneously apologized. I was so upset. I said to my brother, we're leaving. And Joe said, Mike, we can't. They're just about to start the raffle. And because everybody left, my odds are amazing. Great story, Mike Birbiglia. So that night, and I'm not making this up, Joe won a bunch of raffle items, golf club covers and umbrellas, and he's carrying the stuff out to the parking lot with me, and people are going, you're the comedian from the event, as we're holding all these raffle items. Like, not only had I failed, but I pulled one over on them winning raffle tickets. I always think of that as the worst gig I ever had. Fundamentally, I want to deliver for the people who show up. My number one fear as a performer is that the audience will be disappointed, and I feel like what I gave them was exponential disappointment. Oh, what a great story. I'm taking the break here because nothing will top that. Damon Wayans talked to Marka.com about Will Smith. You know, the slap. Yeah, Damon said, I talk about it a little bit in my set. I'm not going to go all the way there. But I think that by trying to take your name out of one person's mouth, now you put your wife's name in everybody's mouth. Comedians are terrorists. Now everybody's got a Will Smith, Chris Rock joke, you know, jaded joke. What would he have done? He said, if somebody's walking up on my stage, I know you're not coming up to give me five. Like, at a point, you got to go, oh, he's coming to harm me. You got to protect yourself. That was me. I got an elbow for you. It's a fight. You come on my stage, we fighting. We do jokes. It's what we do. You don't go to a comedy show and be mad when they tell you jokes. That's what you're there for. I think people in their right mind know better. I don't think people are going to go, I'm going to get up and slap you. As for Will, he said, I think the pressure of 30 years of being excellent, that's hard to do. The man just snapped. You got to check your strong friends. Something was wrong for him to snap and forget about what he's been working towards for 30 years. Let's see who's at Netflix tonight. I'm going to miss doing this. This has been fun. 7 o'clock, John Mulaney, special guest Earthquake. Patton Oswalt at 7. Theo Vaughn at 7. Amy Schumer at 7. Letterman at 7. Phil Wang at 7. 8 o'clock, Gabe Iglesias, that's at Dodger Stadium. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler in conversation. The Late Shows. The Drop-In, hosted by Jeff Ross at 9. Andrew Santino, Letterman again. Phil Wang again. I can't remember. Did we go see Letterman the other night? I think we did, right? I think we did. If we didn't, we're going to see Letterman, but I think we did. So let's see. For the early show, should we see Mulaney? Patton? Are you going to be mad if I make you go see Phil Wang? Like, Patton we can see on TV. He's everywhere. And Mulaney, I feel like we have a handle on. Let's go see Phil Wang. And then for the late show, I'm tempted to say The Drop-In, hosted by Jeff Ross, but that's a free event outdoors at Hollywood Palladium. I don't know how much of a good lineup you'll get at a free event. The Improv has a show at 9:30. All right, let's scratch this. Let's see Phil Wang at 9:30. That opens up the early slot. Why not? Let's go see Mulaney. Well, Annie and Phil Wang, those are your choices for tonight. One of the shows I did not pick is at 7 o'clock. It's Mitra Juhari. She spoke to the LA Times about standing up, making a friend's laugh, and sexual fantasy. Yes, I just got your attention. It's an hour-long show that I've slowly been developing over the pandemic, she says. I really was not feeling super funny or fun or creative. Then I start working on this essay where I talk about what my sexual fantasy would be. Are you ready? It's a nice day outside. I'm wearing a cute outfit. The day's going really well, and it doesn't have much to do with sex for a lot of it. It was just this kind of fun side project, and then I started performing it when shows started happening again. I was having so much fun writing it, and it kept getting more surreal and elaborate. It's the longest piece of solo work that I've done, but it's still very much in the same vein of what I think is funny, which is surreal and absurd and silly and perverted, but then really, really sweet. That's my dream, something that's so vulgar, but also, you know, is hard and makes you laugh. Now I want to know what it is. Billy Connolly will be given the BAFTA Fellowship Award at the BAFTA TV Awards tomorrow. Connolly said, I'm deeply honored. 50 films and I can't remember how many TV shows, as well as my stage comedy, added up to something that's a joy to look back on. A lovely thing. It's lovely to be recognized and become a jolly good fellow. Billy Connolly currently lives in the U.S. He'll accept his award via video link. And congratulations to Aaron Chen. Aaron Chen proposed to his girlfriend, Esther, at McDonald's. That's right. The comedian is 26 years old. He revealed on Instagram. He popped the question with a ring hidden inside of a box of chicken McNuggets. How romantic. I bet she's thrilled. He captioned the hilarious post, congratulations to me. I'm engaged. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast. We're on Pandora. We're everywhere. Wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to become a premium subscriber, you can support the show. $5 a month gets you early releases, and those releases are commercial free. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You've heard me talk about that, and I don't have one in the studio again. I need coffee, guys. See you tomorrow.